All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For me, I'm watching that game yesterday, and I know what everybody was thinking as soon as the opening kickoff happened. Fire everybody! We can't take this anymore! But after things settled down, you saw, to me, the brilliance of Brian Daboll, and the Giants won that game against Cleveland. It's not very good, but it doesn't matter. Giants won that game, BT, because of coaching. Whether it's Daboll offensively in the play calling, which I thought was a thing of beauty early on, or Bowens with the defensive game plan going in, that's all coaching. The Giants were able to beat a team that they were, what, 7 point, roughly 6.5 point underdogs, go into Cleveland and get their first victory of the year. That, to me, shows why you should believe in Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, listen, the Giants were 2 to 3 minutes away from this being a bloodbath all day on the station. You know, and we all know why. I mean, fumble, touchdown, three and out. I mean, just they jump off sides, 3rd and 2 for the Browns. They were. So when you say that, you know, it's all about Daboll, I know what you mean because they did win. They didn't look ready to play the game. That's also on the coach. But that doesn't matter because they did so much well. And so much good, I should say, to overcome that eye-openingly poor start. You know, when a team is good in this city, right? We kind of, just given the nature of who we are, we look for cracks in the foundation. Like, why can't this team do what we want them to do? And conversely, when a team is really, really struggling and showing signs of going the wrong way, We try to find something that we can latch on to that says, okay, maybe this is the reason why it could become better. And to your point, I think Daboll's definitely one of those reasons why it could become better. The defense, you know, that, like, this is the defense that I thought was going to start the season.
Right.
So the Giants, everything changed on a dime. And, I think, and this goes to Daboll, going for it, all right, down 7-0. You can talk about the Jones interception, which was negated by the 15-yard penalty, whatever. I mean, if it was the right call, but if there's no penalty there, I think the Giants lose.
Right.
I mean, because at that point, I think it's just it's a totally different game. Daboll goes for it. They get the first down. They tie it up. Neighbors shows the entire world how amazing he is. It's an absolute season saver, and it might change the narrative for the Giants.
Well, the play calling, though, to me, was the key on that first drive. You talk about going for it. Not only did I feel it was the right decision in the moment, but how about the play that he had ready to go? Like, that's not something that just happens. Oh crap, here we go, let's get this play in. That's something that they knew, game planning against the Cleveland defense, that if we get in a short situation, you know, fourth down and short, whatever it is, we're going to run this play with Malik Nabers right there. There was creativity. It was, you could just feel it. And I'm not trying to be here, be an offensive coordinator or get caught up in specific play calling, but you just feel it watching that game, that there was brilliant play calling and a brilliant game plan. Now the execution wasn't great by the Giants a lot of the time. We'll get to that as we go on here. But to me, the game plan going in and then the game, the play calling from both sides of the ball, that's why the Giants were able to beat Cleveland, who, you know, that crowd was stunned. And, you know, even though Cleveland has some talent, we heard about their defense and whatever. Deshaun Watson, I know, looks lost. But that was a brilliant game plan by the Giants, and they were able to go there and steal a win. And, look, that's a big deal here. 0-3, you're talking about everybody being fired, everybody on the hot seat. All of a sudden, they get a win like that. And now you start to think, all right, well, maybe there's some, like, if you were a believer in this Giants team with me, they had to win that game, and they did. And I think it was strictly because of Brian Daboll.
I mean, listen, anytime you're 7-point dogs and you win the game, it's a massive tip of the cap. It's really, again, it's a season saver. It's a complete opposite. If, let's just say, and they tried to lose, well, I don't say they tried to lose that game, but they were trending in a direction that was getting a little precarious in that second half. It was getting a little dicey there. But they won the game. But imagine if it was the converse to what we actually had. Instead of walking off the field the winner, the Giants walk off the field the loser. Where are we today? It's the complete, You know, it's just, it's a meltdown. Everybody's screaming. There's just, you know, do this and do that and bench this and fire that. And this guy's the guy. It really is amazing. That's why the NFL, unlike baseball, the NFL really is the day after a game. There's just nothing like it.
Right.
Because when you win, everything feels stabilized. And when you lose, it feels like everything's imploding. Generally, the answer is somewhere in between. But, you know, the Giants now... The Giants have a chance to piece this together a little bit. We'll do this more more later. But, like, you know, Dallas looks vulnerable, short week. They got to travel here. Philly looks a little more vulnerable. They had 3 points for 3 hours. I know they won the game, but the Eagles didn't exactly look very good yesterday. So today, really, to me, the first time all year, if you're since the season started, I mean during the summer, if you're a Giants fan, I'm not saying you're walking around saying, let's book Super Bowl tickets here, but you don't feel like... Like you're so far beneath the radar of relevance here. Like the Giants looked in certain spots, the Giants looked awesome.
Correct.
I mean, they actually in certain spots they looked fantastic.
And they should be 2-1. Now I know shoulda, coulda, woulda, but if you actually just step back, aside from the results, and I heard Dable talk about that yesterday in the post game, like the results may vary. Unfortunately, it's a results-oriented business. We get that. But when you're overreacting to a Week 2 loss, because of what happened Week 1, what we thought Minnesota was is totally different than what Minnesota is. Okay, so Week 1, you could almost throw out and just say, hey, the Giants weren't ready. They're not on the level of Minnesota, and Minnesota's certainly better than what we thought. Week 2, the Giants should have won that game. And if you play that game 99 of 100 times, you're winning that football game. They didn't. It happens. It's why, you know, Dable's job was coming into question, whatever it may be. But if you... feed through those weeds, get through that and see, okay, well, they should have won this game. Now you look at what they did yesterday. That's now two games in a row where they have played solid football. Didn't allow a touchdown a week before, scored 3 touchdowns offensively. And then yesterday you saw a performance where even though they got down early, they were able to battle back against Cleveland. Like, that's not going to happen very often. You fumble the opening kick like that, boom, one play, touchdown.
I've done that in, I think, 12, 13 years, fumble the opening kick.
So the fact that you could, a team that's 0-2, that hears all the calls, and you know what's going on, you know, outside the building, oh, Dable should be on the hot seat, all that nonsense that we dealt with all last week, down 7-0 like that, to be able to right the ship from there, I just thought that was an impressive win. Now, does it mean that the Giants are going to be a playoff team? No, but season back on to a certain extent, this was the game they had to win, BT, and I don't know how you could not watch that game and be impressed with the coaching.
Well, I think that you are. Now... I wonder, you know, I know what I was thinking when that was going down early. I'm sitting there saying, oh boy, this is, this looks like it's going to get off the rails fast. Did you actually think?
I think gut instinct in that moment is Jesus.
I don't know how you don't think that.
Yeah, no, enough is fire everybody, enough. They can't continue this. But
well, I mean, you know, not even like fire, just like how does this transform into a positive day, let alone season for the Giants where, all right, they should have beat the Commanders, but they didn't.
Yeah.
You're 0-2, you know, you fumble a kick, you know, first play, dot in the back of the end zone. So you're saying to yourself, oh, God, is this the day that Deshaun Watson wakes up and remembers that he's Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Then the Giants get the football, they go 3-and-out, then the Browns are 3rd-and-2, and the Giants try to get an early stop, they jump off sides, you know, and then it's just really nothing's going right. And I got to tell you, the play, you're right, the play calling was really good. Daniel Jones was not great. But Daniel Jones was good. This is now 2 straight games. That again, you know, see, the Giants are in a very interesting place. Anytime, I heard Gio say this, and he's absolutely right. Like, every game doesn't have to be a referendum on Daniel Jones's career.
Right.
It just doesn't. But I'll tell you, you watch the red zone, you know, you do fantasy, you bounce around, you watch these games. I mean... How many quarterbacks yesterday were truly better than Daniel Jones?
Well, we'll get to that.
But I'm saying for me, I'll get to it now.
Yeah.
The answer's not many.
And
Come on, dude.
Let's get to it now. I mean, Daniel Jones stinks.
Daniel Jones stinks now.
Yeah. No. He's always stunk.
So...
If you watch that game yesterday, and that's why I wanted to focus on Dable to start the show. If you want to get into Daniel Jones, we could do that. He stinks.
Well, he's the quarterback. So we'll get it. Go get.
Understood. If the Giants had a real quarterback, like part of my thought process, if the Giants have players that could actually execute, and they do have some players, look around at the defense, we know what they have there. If they had a quarterback that could actually throw the ball with some accuracy, it would have been a blowout. It wouldn't have been competitive.
Well, I mean, there's a difference.
Also, to your point, he should have thrown
the neighbor saved them on the play. There's no doubt. You're talking about the one where neighbors just jumped over and just 50-50.
The penalty Listen, the penalty early on.
I'm not saying, that's why I said it's not a referendum on Jones, that it's about, you know, the contract and the guy and the draft. No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, in my opinion, obviously you disagree, you give him a functional team around him, and I think that once again Daniel Jones showed that, you know, just give him a little time and give a couple of weapons. He's going to give his team a chance to at least compete. That's all I'm saying. I'm not elevating the bar. Right. I'm not making this more than it is. I mean, we're year six.
Right.
Understood. And there's been the good, the bad, the indifferent, the injuries, the different coaches, all the different things we've hit a million times. But to me, I'm just talking about my inner confidence. Like, I watched Deshaun Watson, and I'm like, no matter what they do, this guy's done. He is lost. He is fried. He is mentally cooked. He is shot. I watch Daniel Jones, and I'm like, all right, you give him a little time. You give him a couple of weapons. They got a chance.
I think it was more about, to me, the That's first time looking at the infrastructure of this team, saying, okay, well, the offensive line's significantly better. Coach knows what he's doing. He knows how to utilize his weapons. Look at Malik Nabers and how he wants to, you know, go to the well with him for different things, even if he wants to get the tight end involved. The coach knows what he's doing. Defensively, same thing. They have a bunch of guys just figuring out how to utilize them. When are you going to be aggressive with Burns or Thibodeau? Let Dexter Lawrence wreak some havoc. So those things are there. But you also saw in that game, or at least I saw it, where there were throws that, I mean, Daniel Jones just can't throw an accurate pass down the field. I mean, that drives me up a wall.
Well, the thing with Jones is now, you know, we're at a point with him where when the throws aren't there, we illuminate them. When the good throws are there, we ignore them. And that's kind of where we're at.
I don't think we're ignoring them. I think the Giants, I think Jones has proven to be a quarterback who obviously can win some games. But
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, we're not really debating much there. I don't disagree wildly there.
Right.
I'm not on a different page with Daniel Jones. It just goes to show you, you know, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's whomever. I mean, if you're put in a position where there's an element of functionality with the core of a team, whether it's the playbook or the offensive line, you know, most of these guys, you know, unless you're just a complete scrub, are going to give you a chance to win. And, you know, if Singletary can start holding on to the football, you start to, you know, Robinson flashed, Nabers is the beast, they took a shot deep with Hyatt early, they opened up the playbook a little bit. You know, you come home Thursday, and we'll get to Thursdays, we get deeper in the week here, but bottom line is the season saved. I think the Giant fans enjoyed it. But I'd be lying if I said the first 5 minutes of this game, I thought they had that in them. I thought they were cooked.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
So, Sal, I just want to start, because I know I'm not going to call you guys later. What a beautiful series for the Mets this weekend, 3 out of 4. But I digress, and I love it, and let's go Mets. Big week ahead of us. Now, what I do want to say is this. Malik Nabers is a generational talent. Malik Nabers has been given, has had so many comparisons so far. And he is a great receiver, and he saved Daniel Jones yesterday. That's a given. What worries me is that he was up against the second and third corner in that first half, and he absolutely mossed them, to use an adjective there. But in the second half, Denzel Ward locked him down. I love Malik Nabers. I love what he's going to bring to the equation. He played a great first half. But what worries me is that if he goes up against the one, seemed like he was overmatched by Denzel Ward.
No. Listen, first of all, Denzel Ward's phenomenal. I mean, Denzel Ward is a very good player, number one. Number two, Malik Nabers has played 3 games. I mean, I don't know what this portends for the next, you know, health, and because you just don't know with football. But watching Malik Nabers play a few games here, and you knew my opinion coming in. I thought the Giants crushed it when they, I loved him when they I loved. I used the word superstar. I think I may have gotten that one right. Like I see, you know, you look around the landscape. Does he really look different from a Judge or a Brunson or a Shesterkin or a young Odell Beckham or any other of the superstars now, the pantheon of New York sports? My answer is no. I mean, the body control, just the when you see it, you know it. This kid is unreal.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Malik Nabers is a beast.
I wouldn't get caught up in him getting shut down by Denzel Ward in the second half. I mean, some of the best receivers of all time, Hall of Famers, have gotten shut down by great cornerbacks, and it's not even that. To BT's point, it's week three. I mean, let him play. I think he's better than Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's been in 3 weeks. He's been more impactful.
I do too.
Than any Like, Odell made one-handed catch, and everybody wanted to get caught up in it. Ooh, Odell. Malik Nabers is actually a football player, a real-life superstar football player that also gets it. He's not an immature idiot like Odell was, certainly when he first started, and actually, even at the end. I mean, there was a reason the Giants had to get rid of him. And also, he's just better. Nabers, to me, has shown better skill set than Odell Beckham Jr. But that's just, if you want to compare those two. But look at the way that he was used yesterday, and even in week two, the way the Giants are force-feeding their superstar in Malik Nabers. It's been a great weapon to have for Brian Daboll on that offense, but it's also key that he knows how to use him. Sean is in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Sean?
Hey, BT Sal, what's up, boys? How you guys doing?
What's up, Sean?
How are you?
Hey, not much, man. Hey, a couple things I can say is I'm really impressed with the O-line. And I feel like Daniel Jones, maybe after week one, I feel like, you know, he hadn't played since that Vegas game. Maybe he was still – I think he was having a lot of cold feet in there, the trust factor. But if you look from week two on, he's actually now standing in the pocket, not looking like antsy anymore. And Sal, I do agree with you. I think if he can hit these deep throws –
but he can't.
Turn the offense to another. I know. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, and he's not even close, Sean. He's overthrowing by 5 yards, for God's sake, every time.
And I actually was worried that underthrowing these guys because of their speed. But you're right. He's overthrowing them by 5-6 yards. If he could hit these throws, this could expand that offense to a whole new level. Yeah, but Nabers be gotten these guys beat by 3 yards, and then he's beating Nabers by like 5 yards.
If he could do that, though, Sean, and thank you for the call, he'd be a good quarterback. I'm asking, if you could throw an accurate deep ball, you'd be Eli Manning, and he's not. And not only that, the decision-making, he got away with something. Like the Giants, I don't want to say they're winning in spite of Daniel Jones because he did some good, BT, and you're right, like that shouldn't be overlooked. But ultimately, when you're looking at this team trying to say, well, how come they couldn't pull away from Cleveland, or why was it close in the beginning, or you know, with the mistakes that Jones made, like they're fortunate that the penalty got called for the first one. Daboll talked about the biggest play Nabers made was knocking that second one down.
Yeah.
And then also there was a deep touchdown. He had Nabers. Nabers would have had 3 touchdowns. But Jones overthrew him. He can't throw the ball with accuracy. It's frustrating.
Well, listen, I mean, that's a skill you either possess or you don't. You know, it's much like a starting pitcher. You either throw hard or you don't. Like, I think that's kind of innately in you. That's just a depth perception thing. So he's never going to be strong. A lead throwing the ball down the field. But, the first play to Hyatt, I'll give you an example. So the Nabers thing's very different, but I like that they opened up the playbook, and just even if you don't connect, it loosens things up a little bit. Now, Singletary's got to start holding on to the football.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, he is dynamic, and he's like a little Saquon light. And we told you this. Like, he is a talented running back. If he starts holding on to the football and they can connect, you know, one every 3, 4, 5 shots down the field and just present that on film and give the defense something to think about. Now it's a different offensive presentation. But that first one to Hyatt, you know, and I know that you're talking about the Nabers one, and that was on Jones, there's no doubt. But the first one to Hyatt, I think if people say, you know, oh, it's a bad throw, it's lazy. Because if you watch that play, you got he's triple teamed. So and it's hard to decipher this from the couch, but sometimes, guys, and you have to know this, when a quarterback when you see a ball, you know, fly over somebody's head, you're like, geez, you're not even close. So first of all, Jalen Hyatt didn't win the route. And you step for step, as fast as he is, he was covered. And you got the safety rolling over. It was 3-on-1. So if you're a quarterback, you're like,
you sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, that's nothing there. Let me fire this intentionally 5 yards past him and live to see another down.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
So Jones must be doing that on every deep ball.
Well, no, no, no. I'm just saying
he's not accurate.
Well, how many deep balls does he throw a game? I mean, I'm just giving you the first one that he threw was not because Daniel Jones doesn't throw a good deep ball. It's because he was triple covered.
I've had on my notes for they played three games so far. So for all three weeks, this is not just today. Jones cannot throw the deep ball with accuracy. So this is not just yesterday. He can't do it. He doesn't do it. Plus, he still makes stupid decisions. I mean, I love the win from yesterday. I think it's about coaching. And you can see the infrastructure with the better offensive line, with a solid running back in place, with a superstar weapon like Malik Nabers, even with serviceable players elsewhere, whether it's tight end or Wandell Robinson or other receivers.
Yeah, Robinson was good.
It's all there. Defensively is a different story, but that's there too. It's there. The quarterback, to me, is an issue that's going to hold them back. Big picture, long term. I don't know how you could watch that game and not feel confident with the game plan going in, whether it's the regression that they showed on defense, which also is coming to question since Wink Martindale is no longer here, whether it's going for it on fourth down early in the game, the creativity that he showed. And everybody wants to now talk about Daniel Jones or not even acknowledge Brian Daboll. To me, that's the number one takeaway from that game. 0-2, down 7 zip out of the gate. And Brian Daboll showed you that he had a game plan and the play calling on that drive. That's the most encouraging thing from my perspective coming out of that Giant win yesterday.
I understand that. I think, and really at the end of the day, this is going to be forgotten, especially as we get a little deeper into the series, into the season here. And if the Giants continue to play well, it's going to be completely forgotten here. But I don't think the Giants were ready to play the game yesterday. I don't think they were ready. You know, so when you say the Daboll game plan, it worked out like from a macro perspective. Yeah, big picture. But I also don't think that directly connects all the dots because the Giants looked like a train wreck to start this game.
I mean, but two plays you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about two plays.
Well,
I'm not.
What? The Giants out of the gate were fine. You know, the big drive there that they had with the, you know, the fourth down drive, all that, to me, that was fine. Like, yeah, in the beginning of the game, the kid muffs the kickoff. What are you going to do?
I don't even mean that. That's almost too lazy. I'm not. Like, that's not on Daboll. I mean, great, protect the football. The Giants haven't fumbled the opening kick since, I think it was 2013.
Right.
I said that in the first segment. No, I'm not going to put that on the head coach, and I'm certainly going to give Daboll praise. I've always liked Brian Daboll. I needed to see a win here.
Right.
I'm just saying, I'm getting a little separation. Like, okay, so they fumble the kick, and then the first play you get beat. That's a big punch in the face. You do respond. You deserve credit. But then the Giants' offense came out. It was 3-and-out. And then the Browns had 3rd-and-2. Giants jump offside. Like it wasn't just the kick and the touchdown.
Right, right.
It was really the first 6-7 minutes of this game. The Giants looked like they were about to get obliterated here. Now they didn't. And Daboll deserves praise because I think his play calling was really good. And I think that Jones, it wasn't amazing. He was good. Nabers is an absolute beast. You're right. We are doing a lot of juggling here, but I do think that for me, like that. It's the NFL, dude. I mean, like, it really can change on a dime.
Right, and also you look at the landscape of the league, and we could do more on that, you know, as the week goes on. Obviously, we'll get into some of it today, but you look at the landscape of the league, and really it's like that in sports. Like, baseball now, the regular season is basically meaningless. Who knows? NFL, you could start 0-2 and still make the playoffs. I mean, 0-3, maybe a different story. But, I mean, at this point, you look at Dallas, nobody thought that Dallas was going to be this bad, I don't think, coming in. So, and who knows? Obviously, the Giants will play there starting week 4 Thursday night. But point is, You don't want to overreact. For me, though, it's not just 1 week. Mm-hmm. It's 2 weeks in a row where they showed significant improvement from week one to week two, and then again from week two to week three, with the results being better. But at least I'm seeing a plan and some improvement from this team.
I get that.
In week two.
I get it.
And week three. Damian is in Brooklyn. What's up, Damian?
Yes, how you doing? First time caller. I just wanted to make a quick point. The problem I have with the Giants is that they're just a stubborn organization. They're a stubborn coaching staff. I mean, you got this guy, Jalen Hyatt, is one of the better receivers that they have on the team. He would also, you know, utilizing that guy more would also make things a lot easier for Neighbors and Daniel Jones. And I just don't understand, like, why aren't you using this guy, man? This guy is exceptional.
Damian, that's what you're calling about? That's what you call Jalen Hyatt today?
Yes.
What do you mean? You say he's one of the better receivers on the team. How many receivers are there on the team?
I couldn't tell you that number.
Not a lot. And thank you for the call. And he's at least third in my mind. At least.
Yeah. Neighbors, Slayton, Wandale Robinson looks. Jalen Hyatt. That's an odd.
What do they have? Five or six receivers on the team? I mean, think about it. He said it was one of the better receivers. Is he?
He didn't catch a touchdown last year.
Come on. It's been now 2 years. And I'm not knocking Hyatt.
No.
We need to actually see him do something. But that's your takeaway from yesterday? I mean, you got the coaching aspect. You got Daniel Jones. You got Malik Neighbors. You got the defense. And you're worried about Jalen Hyatt?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's missing the mark a bit.
Scott is in Manhattan. What's up, Scotty?
What's up, guys? Good morning. Listen, I just realized right now, as a Giant fan, there's nothing Daniel Jones is going to do that you're going to like this guy, whatever he can do. And I'm not saying that, like I said, he's great, but he managed the game. You look at Levitch, Watson, Bissett, all those guys yesterday, I take him over all of those guys right now in a sense because, like I said, he's...
Oh, yeah, that's really saying something. You take Daniel Jones over Will Levis, who's going to get benched and is the worst quarterback in the league, Jacoby Brissett, and who was the other one? Oh, Deshaun Watson, yeah. Me too.
But I'm saying, but the fact is, I mean, every time you come on, it's like, this guy sucks.
Scott. Did you listen to the open of the show?
No, the beginning, when I turned it on, the only thing I heard is Daniel Jones stinks.
Go back. Here's the good news.
You don't see anything.
Here's the good news. That's not what I said, first of all. The good news is the Odyssey app is free. So go back, check the free Odyssey app, and listen to how we started the show. And I was praising Brian Daboll. Now, when you want to talk about Daniel Jones, if you watched the game yesterday, Jones made mistakes. He's fortunate that those mistakes weren't worse because it would have cost him the game. And also, even the mistakes that he, you know, potential turnovers, missing guys left and right. He's inaccurate. I'm sorry, Daniel Jones isn't a good quarterback. Don't shoot the messenger. That's the reality. It's not my opinion. Those are facts. Now, could you win games with them? Yes, the Giants have proven they went to the postseason and won a game with Daniel Jones. So it can happen again, especially with an improved play with the offensive line and a legit weapon like Malik Neighbors. Like, the stuff around Jones gotten significantly better. Jones hasn't, but the stuff around him has.
Well, I mean, listen, the stuff with Jones, it's... you dug into his side. You know, you either believe that, you know, he can be a bit of a reclamation project here with better weaponry, or you're all out. I don't think there's a whole lot in between, and I get that. But what's interesting is the answer really is in between, which makes it frustrating.
Well, why can't it just be he is what he is?
You know, I think it could be. It could be, and he is what he is, and the contract bears that out because it's not punitive to get out of it. We've discussed this a million times. I don't think, and I'm with you on this, he's never going to elevate them to a Super Bowl. He's not Will Levis, to the caller's point, you know, flinging it as he's falling down and just throwing pick sixes left and right. He's not that guy. He's in the middle, you know, of the 32 starting quarterbacks. You know, take a pick. He's 15, he's 16, he's 17, he's 14 on a good day, whatever. But he's not good enough to be incredibly interesting, and he's nowhere near bad enough to be, you know, a complete detriment and a guy that you can't win a couple of games with. So I think there's going to be a lot of these emotional pockets with Daniel Jones until he's gone.
Some of those missed throws and bad decisions are, well, not some of them. Those are what is going to prevent the Giants from catching the Eagles or the Cowboys or the top teams in the NFC. That's the difference. If you complete that deep throw down the sideline to Neighbors and he gets his third touchdown, whatever it is, that's the difference. You have to make those throws to beat the better teams. You can get away with it against Cleveland. You're not going to be able to get away with that against Philadelphia or whoever. Pick a top team in the NFC. Those are the things that Jones just is not capable of doing. Now, could he win you games? Yes, he's proven that before. Is he on par for being an average quarterback in the league? Sure, which is why the Giants went into... See, the Giants' plan was to build everything better around Jones and kind of see what they could get from him while they wait to see what the better options are for quarterback. They didn't have one this year because they didn't want to trade up to get one, so they figured, all right, let's take a stud receiver, we'll wait on the quarterback, try to win some games with him now, and then eventually to get us over the hump, we'll go get that next quarterback, wherever that may be, whoever that may be, whenever that may come. But ultimately, he's just not that good. There's a ceiling to what Daniel Jones could do with this team or how far he could take them.
I think most people know that. I think you can straddle the line and still say, hey, you know what? Can you give me a meaningful season? Mm-hmm. Because the New York Giants, again, were whether there's no hands to the face or they get snuffed out on that when they go for it on fourth down, whatever it might be. The Giants were a couple of minutes or a couple, or they continued to implode at the end and they lose. They were a few plays or a few minutes away from coming back in a body bag. So you can enjoy this with the perspective of, yeah, there's a ceiling, but at least the floors may be elevated for a week or two. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, week by week, the Giants, you got to piece something together. I mean, it would have been so bloody around here today if they would have collapsed at the end or if they just would have never recovered from that early punch. It would have been gross.
The calls would have been fire Dable.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Fire Dable, fire Shane, it's over. Yeah. Well, and fortunately for the Giants and for Shane and Dable, they got the win. You need the results, and they backed it up with a win yesterday.
Judge number 55, Dominguez going yard. Yankees have won 6 of 7. Up 6 with 6 to go. Magic number whittled down to 1.
How about the NFC East, BT? As you look around, our Giants, obviously, and Cowboys, you can't wait to get into that game Thursday night. I'll be in the building again, just like I was last Thursday for the Jets-Patriots. So looking forward to that game. And now, which is a huge game, but you look at the landscape of the NFC East. Eagles barely winning yesterday in New Orleans. I know the Saints are good.
Saints are good.
The Eagles couldn't score any points in that game until Saquon, of course, broke a big one. And the Cowboys look like they're broken right now.
The Cowboys are a mess. And if you watched Dak Prescott's press conference and Micah Parsons' press conference, you know, use the word referendum. I'm not attaching this massive, you know, overstatement of what Daniel Jones has been and might be. I do think yesterday was a referendum on what's going to transpire for the Dallas Cowboys the rest of the way. Because I don't know if you saw this. It was long and it was personal. Both Dak and Parsons were like, hey, listen, you've got to get in the building. We've got to learn to trust each other. You got to jump into film. Like when you challenge the essence of your fellow teammates, the bare bones required to be a professional, like they were basically saying, guys don't know. They don't even know what's going on. Like they don't know what gap to fill. They don't know what route to run. So Dallas either comes out, you know, ready to roll and uber focused on Thursday, or it's the complete opposite, and that could that's big problems for them. And Philly, you know, took them basically 3 hours to score a point. And we get to see the Commanders tonight against the Bengals team. That's a little mystifying as well. So I don't, this is not to elevate the Giants. They got to start proving that they can beat Dallas. They can beat Philly. They always lose to these teams. Commanders, they lost last week. But I thought the division would be a lot better, and right now it seems a little more vulnerable than I thought.
Yeah, we're not going to come on here after one win and all of a sudden be like, hey, the Giants can be division champs. What I will say is they've got an opportunity in front of them. Thursday is a huge opportunity. Like, whether we think, and we could get it, well, we'll get into the game, obviously, as the week goes on, but with the Cowboys being as bad as they have, and I do think the Cowboys are broken, and we're going to find out. And you're coming in here... Giants could be a better coach team as well, especially with all the changes Dallas made on their staff. Not as talented, but who knows, BT. Giants have an opportunity in front of themselves on Thursday. Again, not to be a division-winning team.
Yeah.
And look, anything could happen. Nobody thought the Mets would be as good as they are. I mean, you look at the roster, all the injuries that they've overcome, the fact that they're going to win 90-plus games is crazy. So you never know in sports. And a couple years ago, nobody thought the Giants were going to go to the postseason and win a game. So anything's possible. But the Cowboys can be had right now, as it does seem like they're broken and the Giants have an opportunity. Tom is in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I just had one point about Daniel Jones and then a point about the defense. You were saying, I think you're spot on, the inaccuracy of Jones. But I think the key part of that, it's always in critical situations. All three, I have three that come to mind off the top of my head.
the neighbor's deep ball, obviously, which probably would have sealed the game 28-7. The play in the back of the end zone to Johnson when he's wide open. You don't always get another chance, you know, to make that play. Neighbors bailed him out.
Yep, that's true.
And the third down to Wandale Robinson also. I think it was a 3rd and 7.
And by the way,
a little out in front of him.
Good call, Tom. Even some of the catches were still overthrown. But if not for Malik Nabers' incredible ability to reel them in, I mean, Jones just he's not an accurate passer.
Right. I agree 1,000%. And it's magnified by the timing. My point about the defense is what's going on with Kayvon Thibodeau? I mean, he's been doing nothing. 3 games, 8 sacks. I don't think he had one. What's he up to?
I think he was in on one of them, or half of them, one of them yesterday. He's quiet. And what's going on? He's quiet. That's what's going on. He's quiet. He has been, now really, even until yesterday, Burns was quiet, although he was more in the backfield, maybe not coming up with those tangible stats to validate some of the some of his play the first couple of games. But I'm talking about Burns. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau is, he's good at one thing, sporadically good. When he's good, he's good, but he just disappears too much.
Yeah,
he does for long stretches.
And even now, remember, he's held to a higher standard because of where he was drafted, and you're supposed to be an elite pass rusher.
That's right.
All I could say is, you know, watching football your whole life, and I'm not bowl dinger, but I've watched football my whole life. You could see when you're watching what an elite pass rusher looks like. What is Kayvon Thibodeau's greatest strength? Like, at least when I watch Burns play, and maybe the numbers aren't there, you could see the ferocity and passion he plays with. This is not trying to knock Kayvon. I'm asking you generally the question, because I don't see the speed. Now, maybe it's there. I'm not seeing elite speed. I'm not seeing a great physical force.
I don't see a lot of moves. I don't see, you know, I don't see a lot of diversity in how he tries to get to the court. And again, I'm not bolding
your
either,
but right.
I just kind of see, like, the repeated same attempt to get to the quarterback. You got to have multiple moves. It's like a point guard with the ball. You got to be able to cross somebody up more than one way. I feel like he's kind of fairly predictable, not incredibly stout against the run. He disappears. At some point,
you got to have your impact felt on the game.
Yes, yes. And that is something that you and I have been on for a while. And, you know, I would like to see him fully justify the top 10 status that he has as a draft pick. Now, what has he been so far? He's been intriguing enough where no one's saying he's a bust here. He's not an A. He's not a D or an F. I don't even think he's a C. I think so far, for me, Kayvon Thibodeau's been a B-minus giant.
That's fair. I'll probably go C+, maybe.
Yeah. Same neighborhood.
He had the numbers last year.
Same neighborhood.
Right, but for that type pick.
Yeah.
We got to be in the A's here. That's the problem with Kayvon. It's not to pick on him, but you haven't had his impact felt in the first few
games. And Sal, it's not like there's nobody else that's assuming the attention of the opponent. I mean, Dexter Lawrence. Everybody, even though Burns had no sacks coming in, he has been a terrific player for you know 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Everybody knows he's an outstanding player. So it's. I mean, is it really that different if you're a hitter and you got a couple of sticks around you? Don't you think it's more advantageous? You're going to get some better pitches to hit?
I would think.
Kayvon Thibodeau, it's not like they're double-teaming him. Come on.
Right. No, I would think. And maybe at some point we'll start to feel it. We haven't through 3 weeks. John is in Valley Stream. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, good to talk to you again, boys. How we doing?
Good.
BT, turn to Timmy Trumpet song because I feel like I got to drop a 6-out DS save on Sal here with the Jones and the Dable. Listen, Jones. He's a mid-level quarterback, Sal, and you're running your playbook to perfection on him. You're going to drop the Licata Kavorka on him and hate on him till you can't anymore. Then you're going to grudgingly give him some props, and then around week 10, this is what we're going to get. 2022, Jones is back, baby! I'm all in!
No, I appreciate the entertainment value in the call, John, and thank you for the call. It's just not accurate. This is not me hating on Jones. This is me being realistic of understanding what Jones is. I never once said Jones cannot win games in this league. You know why I never said that? Because we saw it happen a couple years ago. It happened. He did it. Matter of fact, I was higher on the Giants knowing their quarterback situation this year than most. I bet they're over. I've been picking them every week for the first 3 weeks. So, and I know who the quarterback is. It wasn't, I think the Giants are going to turn it on because they're going to bench Jones and go to Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito. I'm not the one calling for Tommy DeVito. All I said coming into the year was, I know what Jones is, and I know that they need more, and I want more, and I want that to be the same damn storyline. Doesn't mean they can't win games. I just think to get to the next level, they need a new quarterback. The offensive line is much better. Thomas did a great job yesterday against Myles Garrett. The O-line in general.
He did.
Illuminor has been a good addition. Like, they've been very good as an offensive line. Jones, to me, they brought in as good a weapon as you could have in Neighbors through 3 weeks. Jones is still the same. He's inaccurate. He makes dumb decisions. But you can still win some games with him.
Listen, here's where I'm at with the Giants, all right, and the duo. I'm going to put Shane aside for a moment. The duo of Dable and Jones, the analysis, right? I'm still trying to determine, and I hope the answer is yes. I know the answer is no to one. I hope the answer is yes to the first part. I'm trying to determine myself for if Brian Dable truly is going to be the head coach of the Giants for 10, 12, 13 years.
Okay. Like,
I think he's got that in him. My only fear for Brian Dable has been, does he get in his own way? You know, I don't talk about slamming headsets. I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm emotional. You're emotional. Yep. It's all good. But, like, you've got to reel it in a little bit. We talked about, I'll use the word dysfunction. Some people don't agree, but I'm going to stand by that. There was a little too much dysfunction in the franchise a year ago. Clean that up. I think if he does, I think Brian Dable can be I think Brian Dable can be the best coach since Coughlin. And, you know, and that's it. I think he could be the guy. So, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, man, I think that Daniel Jones could he be? No, I know he's not the future of the Giants. I already know that. I think most of us know that. I think he's more functional than you. I think his ceiling's a tick higher than you. But let's not get it twisted. He's going to be gone soon. That's it. So while he's here, try to win some games. Let the defense pin its ears back. Get Neighbors involved. Let him entertain you. You know, call some runs for Daniel Jones. God forbid, I don't mean to sound callous. I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Whatever. I mean, he's not going to be here. If he's not like Mahomes, where you want to protect him. And you play football. And as you play football, you see the division, as we just chronicled, maybe not as good as we thought.
Yeah.
You know, 2022, wacky things happen. Just enjoy the ride. It was a good win.
Both things can be true. See, I've never come on and said they should lose on purpose and get a top quarterback. I was very clear that I would have traded for a quarterback and did whatever I could last year just because I'm done with Daniel Jones. We know what Jones is, but I still believe the Giants can win some games and should be trying to win some games with him as their quarterback, but then knowing that they could find the next guy eventually that could take them to a higher level. So it's not an anti-Daniel Jones thing. It's just that he's not that good.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.